quick tonight. We know we got fellowship after service. We got a men's meeting. But we want to just take a few moments in the word of the Lord tonight. How many have heard about the tragedy in, was it Sutherland, Texas today? An individual walked into the First Baptist Church in Sutherland, Texas, and shot. Last report I heard was 27 people. Several have died. The pastor wasn't there that morning. His daughter was. Shot the pastor's daughter. She was killed. One report I heard 15 was killed. Another report I heard 20 were killed. I don't know. But I tell you what, friends, we're living in troubled times. Amen. We're living in troubled times. And it's something when you read about things like that happening and you wonder what's going on in this world. I tell you what's going on. Just exactly what the Bible said was going to be going on. Amen. And the Lord is getting ready to come. I honestly believe that. I believe prophecy's been fulfilled. You know, John was looking for the Lord to come when he wrote the epistle of 1 John. He was expecting the Lord to come at any time. When Paul wrote his epistles, he was expecting the Lord to come at any time. But we live in a time when we have seen biblical prophecy leading up to the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church fulfilled. It's taken place. And I tell you what, it's a troubled time, but it's an exciting time. Amen. In the book of Esther, chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, and they told Mordecai Esther's words. Esther's words, she was troubled by what she had to do. She was struggling with what was going to be required of her. And she was fearful of what was going to happen. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight? She ultimately became the new queen. She was Queen Esther. But in the same story, we have the account of a man by the name of Haman. And he was an Agagite. In other words, if you don't know what an Agagite was, you'd have to go back earlier in the Jewish history. Thank you, Brother Jim. And search, and you would find that there was a man by the name of Agag. He was a king that was commanded to be killed. He wasn't killed when he should have been killed, and all the Agagites were not killed as David or Saul was instructed to do. And now his descendants are living, and now his descendants have the opportunity to become a thorn in Israel's side. And Haman was an Agagite, and he was promoted by the king, and he got all big-headed. Anybody ever know anybody that got a promotion and got big-headed? Amen. And it happens all the time, don't it? His head swelled, and he expected everyone to bow down to him and to honor him. But Mordecai, who was employed by the king, he was a civil servant, as many Jews had now assimilated themselves into the realm of Persia, and even in the Babylonish captivity, they assimilated themselves into society. Not all the Jews went back to Jerusalem after the captivity was over, and after they were free to go back, many stayed, and such was the case with Mordecai. Now he's a civil servant, he's working for the king, and he refuses to bow before Haman, and he refuses to give honor to him because his heart's desire is to honor only the God of his parents, the God of his heritage, the God of his mother and father, the God of Israel. And Haman gets angry. So Haman goes to the king and he weasels around with the king and gets the king to allow him to put out a decree in the king's name that says on a certain day that everybody in all the realm of the king of Persia, and I think there was 27 provinces, had the right on this certain day to take up arms and to kill the Jews and to seize their possessions and pay tribute unto the king and possess their lands and everything that they had. And word came to Mordecai that this decree had been made. And Mordecai told Esther, says, you need to go to the king and plead your cause. You need to go to the king and plead our case before the king. And Esther said, listen, she said, I understand the severity of what's going on, but there's a decree among the Persians that anyone that goes in before the king that has not been summoned and the king does not hold out the golden scepter to, there's only one decree for them, and that's death. And I haven't been summoned in a month. The king hasn't called for me. The king hasn't wanted to see me. And if I just go in there, I put myself in peril. I put my life in danger. Mordecai said, you think you're going to escape when they go searching the records? See, if you go back and read, there any decree that had been made by the king and any law that had been signed by the king could not be reversed. It couldn't be undone. So now, she was just as much in peril as anyone else because the decree was to destroy the Jews. It was a perilous time. It was a dangerous time. It was a very scary time. Kind of much like the world we're living in today. Every day we find out more and more of something going on. Just this last week, a terrorist run a truck into a bunch of people. Where do you think they learned that from? Does Barcelona, Spain? Does some of the things that have happened throughout Europe ring a bell? Where do you think all this comes from? It comes from the very seed of sin. That's desiring to steal lives and to steal souls. But Mordecai tells her, you won't escape, but perhaps you've been placed here for such a time as this. Do you realize that you're alive in this day and time for a specific purpose? You're here because God knew what was going to go on and God knew what was going to be happening, but he knew that you would be here for such a time as this. You know, time is a real wondrous thing when you study time and you look at time. He tells Esther, you're here for such a time as this. And I preached this message several years ago. And I was telling Brother Jim, you know, I've always prided myself in this fact. I've never preached the same message twice in this church. I preached through the same scripture a couple of times, but I've never preached the same outline. I've never preached the same message two times. Do y'all realize that? You know, many preachers, they preach. I hear people say, oh, I love it when pastor preaches this message and he preaches this message. And they go, right. The Bible's so full of stuff to preach. I don't understand why people feel like they got to preach the same message over and over. Pretty soon it becomes unspiritual and it becomes more of a play that you're carrying through. But several years ago, I preached this message, and God just has laid this on my heart this last couple of weeks. And has laid it on my heart today, and I said, no, I've got to find something. I've got to preach something else. I've got to preach something else. And God just kept this on my heart. And then I heard about the shooting today in this Baptist church. We see the things that are going on. And, you know, for such a time as this, exactly. I preached this on a Wednesday night, so most of you didn't get to hear it anyway. And it's been probably 10 years ago that I preached this message. Believe it or not, time flies. I'm shocked at how fast time flies. But you're here for such a time as this. And the question is, what time is it? Amen? I want to give you three biblical answers, three biblical points on what time it is. Turn in your Bibles into 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verses 29 to 31. The Apostle Paul says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." What time is it? Paul says time is short. Time is short. Time is precious. It's a very precious time in which you live. Amen? Do you realize that the Lord could come any moment? He could come before we finish this service tonight, and there are souls that still need to be told about Jesus. There are lives that still need to be transformed by the atoning blood of Jesus. There are still messages that need to be preached that people can hear. There are still gospel tracts that need to be handed out. There are still friends and family that are dying and on their way to hell and need to know that there's a greater hope in this world and in this universe than anything that man has ever offered him. The time is precious, and we need to be conscious of the time. I tell you what, you don't have a promise of another day. You want to know how precious time is? Go back and talk to Brother Paul. His wife is fading fast. And Sister Eileen, her sister, is fading fast. And we think we have all the time in the world. We think it'll be another opportunity, another moment. But friend, time is precious. We think we have forever. But you stop to realize that our lives are ordered by the wonder of time. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us there's a time in which we're born. There's a time in which we die. There's a time in which we plant. There's a time in which we sow. There's a time to war. There's a time for peace. Amen. There's a time for everything. Our lives are ordered by the wonder of time. And we don't control it, but God does. Amen. And we need to realize that every moment that God has given us is a moment that we need to take advantage of, to be sure that the world understands, to put everything else behind us. He said, the time is short and remaineth that both they have wives as though they have none, they weep. You know, in other words, what Paul is saying here, time is short. We need to make sure that we put Christ first in our lives. We need to make sure that we let folks know about Christ above and beyond everything else. Everything else needs to be secondary in our life. The most important thing that we can be doing right now is telling people about Jesus. Not only is time precious, but time is urgent. Turn in your Bibles into Ephesians chapter number 5, if you would, for just a moment. Ephesians chapter number 5, and you see the urgency of time. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5, 15 to 18, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Paul says, redeeming the time because the days are urgent. Not only is time precious, but time is urgent. Time is of the most important thing. There's no time to be sitting around on our lees, as the Bible says. There's no need to be sitting around on the church pews whining about the condition of the world. We need to be busy telling people about Jesus. That the time is urgent. Amen. The days are evil. They're not getting any better. Amen. You don't know when somebody's going to walk through this back. You know how many missionaries I've had come in and said, "Don't you all lock the doors when the service starts?" I said, no. I said, if we locked the door when the service started, half the membership wouldn't be able to get in. I said, why would you lock the doors of the church? He said, we've been to several, a couple of them tell me, we've been to several churches that have been robbed during the service. Let's face it. You got a collective people if they're going to take an offering up. Hallelujah. Might as well take one up for you if you're a thief. That's the way they see it. They just ain't walked into the right church yet. Amen. But the thing about that, the days are evil. Amen. People not only rob churches. I mean, I've had more than one missionary ask me, do we lock the doors? I said, well, we're out in the middle of nowhere. He said, I'm not talking about churches in the city. I'm talking about church out in the middle of nowhere, out in the stick, got robbed during the service. The days are evil. Amen. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at the progression of sin. And look in Romans chapter 1, where we preached from some this morning, at the progression of sin. And look at where we're at on that sinometer of the Bible. That's what you could call that. Amen. Stop and think about it. First, they know about God. They know there is a God. They're aware of God's presence. But they don't even regard God. They don't even acknowledge Him. They don't even give God glory. And pretty soon they're worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. Amen. Isn't that where America has slipped to? Then we slip on into the realm of homosexuality, and we acknowledge it, and we try to make it to be considered normal. And then we see the resultant, malignant nature of the individuals who dwell that way. Isn't that a picture of this world today? Isn't that a picture of America? America has reached its point of lowness, I think, that it's ever had. You know, America hasn't always been the most upstanding. America's got its flaws. But it was always, and I think it still is, the best country in the world. Amen. Amen. To be from. But in my lifetime, in just my lifetime, I'm amazed at how far I've seen America slip. Brother Jim and Sister Mary, some of the others that are my age in here, can tell you, I remember the day in Cecil County when very few places were open on Sunday. There are very few places open to eat. There's a few places open to eat. There's a couple gas stations open. That was it. You didn't do no shopping on Sunday. There wasn't no stores open to shop at. Amen. I mean, I'm talking the truth. Wasn't no need to worry about going to Walmart. There wasn't no Walmart. And the stores that Walmart has run out of business wasn't open on Sunday. There wasn't no place to go. And now we see that. There's few places in Cecil County where you could get a meal where they served alcohol, and if they were considered a bar. But now you can go to most restaurants. It's hard to go to a restaurant in Cecil County that doesn't serve alcohol. And what's so sad is for a restaurant to survive in this day and time, they almost have to serve alcohol, or they don't have the patronage to keep the restaurant or the business supported. These aren't things I'm dreaming up in a minute. These are things I've seen. I hear more junk on TV. The stuff I hear on television today, you didn't hardly hear out in the workplace and in the world. I'm talking about things that come across the television set. I mean, there was a time when they wouldn't show Elvis Presley on TV. They blacked him out from the waist down because they thought it was obscene. My lands, they'd roll over in their graves if they seen what they're showing today. The days are evil. The time is urgent. The message is needed more today than it's ever been needed. Amen. There's no time to waste because of the preciousness of the time. There's no time to take for granted. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We can't take it for granted that somebody else is going to do it. It's time for us to get up. It's time for us to be busy. It's time for us to be telling people about Jesus. You know the best way we can tell people about Jesus? Is living a Christ life, Christ-like life. Amen. Amen. You know, many people don't want to hear you when you tell them about Jesus, but they're watching you. Many people don't want to hear when you try to share Jesus, but they're watching you. Amen. The time is precious. The time is urgent. But oh, isn't the time exciting? Amen. Isn't the time exciting? Look in Romans chapter 13 real quick for a moment. The Bible says in Romans 13 verses 11 and 12, and knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let me tell you what, there's not ever in my thought been a more exciting time to be alive than what it is today. We see the evil that's abounding. We see the Bible and its prophecies fulfilled. Every time we pick up the newspaper, every time we read something, when I was a kid, I heard about the Antichrist and how one day he would set up a one world government and would control the world. And I wondered, how in the world is one man ever going to be able to keep tabs and control all the people in the whole universe, in the whole world? That seemed like an impossible, monumental task. But I live in the day of the modern computer. Do you realize you got your... See what's on Jimmy's wrist right there? That computer that's on Jimmy's wrist right there right now is more powerful than the computers that were used to put a man on the moon in 1969. I forget how many hundred times more powerful that computer is. And they took up rooms. They had big buildings built, big rooms. I know Brother Jim remembers, and I remember when I was in the Navy, the computers that were on our ship and the electronics equipment that controlled them, they were big, great old big spaces, you know, big old rooms, doing the same thing as what that little thing on his wrist. We wondered, how could these things ever happen? And then God shows us through technology that one individual. You know, every time you get on a computer and every time you do something, every keystroke you make, anybody around the world that wants to see it can look at it. When you get on the World Wide Web and you look up information, there's people that are monitoring what information that you're looking up, because they want to take advantage of the World Wide Web too, whether it's to destroy you, whether it's to rob you, whether it's to cheat you, or for whatever reason, they're on there looking. Amen. Amen. When you stop and think about it, and I see Sister Mary when I was saying, she was shaking her head. Yeah, she kind of thought the same way I did, I guess. Amen. Think about how exciting that is. We're seeing what God said would happen and could happen in His Word come to light. We see the nation of Israel restored into its homeland just like the Word of God said it was going to. And as far as we know, that is the last thing on God's prophetic timeline that would happen before Jesus come to rapture His church. It's an exciting time. Amen. We see the world today just like it was. Who said that? Wasn't it Jesus? Just like in the days of Noah. Amen. Why did God destroy the world in the days of Noah? Because the imagination of the heart of man was wicked. Man, every time you turn TV on, Harvey Weinstein and the David's was Spacey, Stacy, Kevin Spacey, some idiot on there, some other, want to lose, you know, sexual perversions. We see people killed. We hear the news today, and we see just the evil that's pervading and prevailing and producing generation after generation. That's more godless, more heartless, and more prone to evil than what we've ever been, because there is no accountability. They don't acknowledge God. They don't glorify God. They don't feel responsible to God because they feel they're their own God. It's scary. But when you hold it up into the light of the Bible and Bible prophecy, it's an exciting time. Do you realize that just any moment we could be transported? Any moment we could be hearing the trumpet, seeing our loved ones who have died in Christ rising up from the grave to meet the Lord in the air, and us scooting up to meet Him. It could happen anytime. I believe it's that close. I believe it's that imminent. I believe that we're right on the verge. You know, it's been said that time stands still for no man, but then we're not the ones that control time. Matter of fact, I read in the Bible once where God made time stand still. Amen. Joshua chapter 10, verse number 13. I remember reading in the Bible where God actually made time go backwards. Amen. I'll tell you where that is. Hold on. Isaiah 38, 8. As much as we think we're in control of our lives, we need to be reminded of just how fleeting time is. James says our lives are but a vapor that appeareth for a time and then they're gone. Just like that, they dissipate and they're gone. But the time that God has given us, the time that the one who controls all time and controls our time, the psalmist said in Psalm 38, my times are in your hand. He realized that God was in control. And the times that God has given you is precious. It's urgent. And it's exciting. And we need to make full proof of the time that He's given us, because He's placed us here where we're at, in this place, in this time, for such a time as this. Tonight, let's stand to our feet, our heads bowed, our eyes closed.